agenda is change of zone 1729, filed on behalf of Ida C. Fawcett, Fawcett Heirs LLC, and Massey Landing Park, Inc. Mr. Lank.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have several items of old business this morning, so bear with me. Old business, there are four items that based on two projects. Each of the items has a change of zone and a conditional use application involved. The public hearings on these applications were heard jointly, and then the decisions were rendered separately or individually. You had been provided in your packets a copy of the report of the Planning and Zoning Commission record and their recommendation on the applications for consideration. The first two scheduled old business items are for change of zone 1729 and conditional use 1963, which I hate to say are first 16 pages of your report. In reference to the applications 1729 and conditional use 1963, the Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on May 23rd of 2013. Council held public hearing on June 18th of 2013, and the Commission made a recommendation on June 27th of 2013. For the record, in reference to change of zone 1729, going to do it separately, right?
Yes, sir.
Have to.
Yes.
This is the application of Ida C. Fawcett, Fawcett Heirs LLC, and Massey's Landing Park Incorporated. It's an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from MR medium density residential district to an AR1 agriculture residential district to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 50.83 acres, more or less, lying on both sides of the eastern end of Long Neck Road, being State Road 23, also known as Route 22, and being identified on the tax rolls as Tax Map ID District 234, Map 25, Parcels 31, 31.02, and 31.04. The Commission held public hearing, as I stated, on May 23rd, 2013, and at that time, there was a motion and a second and was carried unanimously to defer action for time for further consideration, given the amount of materials and statements received, and that motion carried 5-0.
Excuse me, the CU was voted on and in the Commission, did you just say?
To change the zone.
Just to change the zone.
CZ.
Right.
Okay, that was 5-0.
I gotta keep my page number straight here.
Very good.
On June 27th, 2013, and in reference to change zone number 1729, Mr. Johnson said he would move that the Commission recommend approval. Change of zone 1729 for Ida C. Fawcett, Fawcett Heirs LLC, and Massey's Landing Park Incorporated for a rezoning from MR to AR1 based upon the record made at the public hearing and with reasons and with a motion that carried 5-0. You have before you in your record the record and recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mm-hmm. I can read the full text of that recommendation, or you can consider what you have before you.
And we'll need it read, or you got a copy? Got a copy? We're okay with that. Mm-hmm. We're good.
So the motion was by Mr. Johnson and seconded by Mr. Burton and carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with a recommendation that this application be approved for those 8 reasons stated. And that motion carried 5-0.
Okay, that's in their minutes anyway, isn't
correct.
It? Online?
Yes, ma'am.
It's in the report for you.
It's available, sure.
Ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And that's been in the record since June 27th of 2013.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
Mr. Moore, if you would read the short title and read proposed findings of facts.
Yes.
For conditional or change of zone 1729.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MR medium density residential district to an AR1 agricultural residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 50.83 acres more or less, tax map ID 2-34-25-31.01, 31.02, and 31.04. And Mr. President, you know it's my practice when I read findings of fact, I read them in the affirmative.
Correct.
And then people can vote how they desire. The proposed findings of fact. A, based on the record, Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division stated that the site is located in the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District, that the site will be served by Central Water and Central Sewer, and that the Sussex County Engineering Department has no objection to the rezoning to AR1. B, the record reflects that Delaware Department of Transportation, DLDOT, had provided comments on January 28, 2013 in reference to the traffic impact study, and that DLDOT has not objected to the project or the traffic generated by it on area roadways. C, this is a downzoning, and it will allow the applicants to obtain approvals to construct an RV campground on the subject property, that the AR1 zoning is necessary because a conditional use for a campground is not available in the MR zoning district, that both MR and AR1 zoning are appropriate for this area under the county's comprehensive land use plan and the maps contained in the plan. Since both districts permit residential use, that if the proposed conditional use for the property should be denied or should expire, the permitted residential density for the property would be less than what is currently permitted under the MR zoning classification, that the property is also surrounded by AR1 zones, that the AR1 zoning is consistent with much of the zoning in Long Neck and Massey's Landing area, that the proposed use as a campground is consistent with other uses in the Long Neck Road and Massey's Landing area, and that there are other campgrounds in the area that have been in existence for many years. D, the property was previously rezoned from AR1 to MRRPC in 2007 for 120-unit residential development, and that this rezoning will void that approval and return the property to its prior AR1 zoning. E, the proposed use as an RV campground will be subject to the conditions limitations established by that approval and also site plan review by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. F, there is no basis in the record for denial of this rezoning application, and the applicant has created substantial record in support of the application. And G, based on the record and recommendations, Planning and Zoning Commission, and the record created before council, the council approves this application.
Pleasure, council.
I move to adopt.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson, to adopt change of zone 1729 with the recommendations of Planning and Zoning and the findings of fact as read by Mr. Moore to the record.
Voting on CU, are we not?
No, ma'am. Change of zone.
All right, don't need to redo that.
No, ma'am. Change of zone first.
All right.
Any questions on the change of zone? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Well, I'm concerned about it, and I vote no. I understand the commission did approve this application, but I feel very strongly that it should be denied. And there are a lot of reasons that are already in the record based on what we've heard. And it's a part of an overall project to allow an RV campground. The rezoning is necessary to accomplish this goal since the RV campground isn't permitted as a residential use. The proposed change in zone and the overall project do not promote overall health, safety, convenience, and general welfare of the community, the neighborhood. Council received a binder containing 967 signatures in opposition to the project, along with 58 letters and emails expressing opposition to the project. These communications have come from communities in the Long Neck area. Finally, 14 people spoke in opposition to the application at the Planning and Zoning Commission public hearing, and 12 people spoke in opposition to the application in our hearing, in the County Council hearing. And so we have an applicant who is not, I don't see any evidence to support why this land should be zoned AR1 or it's the C. Are you looking for AR1?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, then wait a minute.
You want to change it from MR to AR.
Right, but that's a CU.
Pardon me?
That's a CU.
That's the next one.
That's the use of it.
All right. Okay, then. All right, I understand. Well, it's a bad idea anyway. We've been told and we've heard that there is terrible congestion on that road, and that number of those roads in that area are too narrow to accommodate that kind of traffic. So that's my reason for no.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Cole.
I always like seeing things downzone, so I'll vote yes to downzone the property. I believe the findings of the fact are that DelDOT didn't have any problem with downzoning the applicant. We all know it does need the downzoning to do the next down. The downzoning is needed to put in a campground, which I know.
Told you.
But anyway, I'll vote yes to downzone.
Thank you. Mr. Phillips.
To you.
I vote yes to this first step in the application process for the conditional use based on record and recommendation of planning and zoning.
I know.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on recommendation of P&Z.
Based on the recommendation of planning and zoning and on the findings of fact as read by Mr. Moore, I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Next, Mr. Lank.
Yes, thank you. The next application is conditional use number 1963. The application of Ida C. Fawcett, Fawcett Heirs LLC, and Massey's Landing Park Incorporated. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a campground to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 50.83 acres, more or less, lying on both sides of the eastern end of Long Neck Road, also known as State Road 23, and also known as Route 22, and being identified on tax rolls as tax map ID District 234, map 25, parcels 31, parcel 3102, and parcel 3104. This application was also reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on May 23rd, 2013, in public hearing. It was considered in public hearing by Council on June 18th of 2013. Commission made recommendation on June 27th of 2013. In reference to this application, again, there was a motion made by the Planning and Zoning Commission on 6/18 of 2013. And reference that there were 13 reasons to approve and 20 conditions of approval, references items A through T, and was carried with a 5-0 vote. Again, you have before you in your report a copy of the commission recommendations. I can read the 2.5 pages, or you already have them before you. It's your option.
Anyone council need him to read them?
No.
We already have a copy.
No, we're just looking now about at the CU 1963. Just want to be sure.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
And that is to check. Okay, very good. How about that?
Okay. We're good. Anything else, Mr. Lang? Anything else?
No.
Okay, Mr. Moore, you need to read the short title.
Yes, thank you.
And then findings of fact.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a campground to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 50.83 acres, more or less, tax map ID 2-34-25-31, 31.02, and 31.04, and the proposed findings of fact, again, read in the positive, and you'll soon see why I brought out two bottles of water. Based on the record, the site is located in the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District, that wastewater capacity is available, that Ordinance 38 construction is required, that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required, that connection to the sewer system is mandatory, that the county reserves the right to alter or provide additional comments upon submittal of information regarding flood zones, that the county requires design and construction of an on-site collection system to meet county engineering department standards and procedures, that coordination of existing public sewer with the project's design is required, that the county engineer must approve connection point and requires that a sewer concept plan be submitted for review and approval, and that system connection charges will apply. B. The record reflects that Delaware Department of Transportation, DelDOT, had provided comments on January 28, 2013 in reference to the traffic impact study, on April 10, 2013 on the preliminary site plan, and on May 13, 2013 provide next entrance location approval only letter, that while there were concerns expressed about traffic, DelDOT has not objected to the project or the traffic generated by it on area roadways, that a traffic impact study was completed in 2005 and has been reviewed and accepted by DelDOT subject to certain recommendations in terms of improvements that the applicant will be responsible for, that DelDOT found that conditions in the study area have not changed substantially since the 2005 TIS was done, that the development now proposed will be similar in its trip generation. Therefore, our findings and recommendations based on the TIS contained in a letter dated November 4th, 2005 are applicable to the current development proposals as well, and a new TIS is not necessary. And that part was in quotes from the DelDOT letter. And that the state considered Long Neck Road to be a major collector road, which is an appropriate location for this type of use. C, based on the record, applicant intends to develop the site with a campground RV park, that the project is planned on both sides of Long Neck Road and is adjacent to state land, the boat ramp site, the existing Massey's Landing Manufactured Home Park, and the existing Potnet Seaside Manufactured Home Park, and the site contains 50.83 acres of land and does not include Mrs. Fawcett's home. D, based on the record, all the lands around site of AR1 agricultural residential zoning are improved with manufactured home communities or water bodies, that the project will have 322 campsites with sewer, water, and electric hookups, bathhouses, laundry, general store, cafe, snack bar, and recreational and maintenance facilities, pavilions, and aquatic rental center. No motorized watercraft. Concierge, golf cart rental center, welcome center / administrative offices, swimming pool, nature center / activity lodge, lodge meeting center / conference center, remote tenting area, dart bus stop, interior crabbing and fishing piers, and a dog park, that the recreational amenities support the use of the campground, that there will not be any lot sales, that employee parking will be provided, that Delaware Electric Cooperative will provide electricity, that the site is located in the Indian River Fire Company service area, that the streets within the project will be sized to accommodate the largest emergency vehicle of the Indian River Volunteer Fire Company, that they're proposing to install pervious pavement with filter strips rather than impervious pavement, that they plan on utilizing green technologies and best management practices, that there are no threatened / endangered species on site, and the project will have controlled and gated access. E, the use as a campground is consistent with the other existing residential uses, campground and manufactured housing communities that currently exist in the Long Neck and Massey's Landing areas. The campers and RVs are not something new in this neighborhood, so there is a reasonable expectation that RV and campground uses could be developed in the vicinity, and that the use is adjacent to developed manufactured home parks on the west and south, and the bay and the state of Delaware boat launch on the north and east. F, under the current Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the site is located in an environmentally sensitive developing area, which is recognized as a development or growth area on the future land use map, that the area is almost fully developed, and since this project could be considered infill, and that the development is consisted with the purposes and goals of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update, and is beneficial and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of Sussex County and its residents, because it promotes tourism and related services, economic growth in a designated development area, full and part-time employment opportunities, significant economic benefits to area businesses, and is consistent with the character of the zoning and development in the area, that the site is an appropriate location for the proposed development since recreational and commercial uses exist in the Long Neck area, and that there will be no negative impact for schools or other similar public facilities since the development will operate only seasonally. G, the applicant has created a sufficient record in support of the conditional use application. H, based on the record and recommendations of Planning and Zoning Commission and the record created before council, the conditional use is approved subject to the following conditions, which will serve to minimize any potential impacts on the surrounding area and adjoining properties. One, the maximum number of campground RV sites shall be 322. Two, all entrance and roadway improvements and any other DLDOT requirements shall be completed as required by DLDOT. This includes the developer's agreement to comply with DLDOT's request to enter into an agreement with DLDOT to fund an equitable portion of the installation of a single lane roundabout at the intersection of Route 23 and Potnets Road and other similar improvements. Three, the development shall be served by the county's Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District. The applicant shall comply with all Sussex County Engineering Department requirements regarding connection to and service by the district. Four, the development shall be served water for domestic use and fire protection by the Long Neck Water Company. Five, the stormwater management sediment and erosion control facilities shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements and maintain using best management practices. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District. Six, the applicant shall cooperate and coordinate with the state and county emergency preparedness offices, develop and implement an emergency evacuation plan. Seven, the development shall be surrounded by a 50-foot landscape buffer. This shall be installed as part of the first phase of the development's construction. Eight, the entire facility may open no earlier than April 1st each year and shall close no later than the first Sunday of November of each year. Nine, the campground slash RV park shall remain vacant. No campers or RVs shall be stored on the campsites during the period that the campground is closed. 10, there shall be no accessory buildings located on individual campsites. 11, campground restrictions shall be submitted as part of the site plan review. 12, all units to be used for the purpose of human habitation on campsites shall be tents, travel trailers, recreational vehicles, and equipment manufactured specifically for camping purposes. 13, the developer shall plan the entrance design to accommodate a dark bus stop and turnabout in consultation cooperation with DART. 14, one sign not exceeding 32 square feet per side with lighting shall be permitted. The lighting for the sign shall not shine on any neighboring properties or roadways. 15, all lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring communities or roadways. 16, all wetlands on the site shall be clearly marked on the site to avoid disturbance. The location type of these markers shall be shown on the final site plan. 17, the applicant shall determine, after consulting with the county, whether there are any dwellings in the vicinity of the property that require 400-foot buffer pursuant to Section 115-172H3 of the Sussex County Code that was in effect at the time of the application. As part of the final site plan review, the developer shall include a note on the plan describing its efforts to make this determination and show the location of any dwelling that would trigger the application of the 400-foot buffer. 18, all campsites must be 2,000 square feet in size according to the Sussex County Code. It does not appear that any that the campsites at the remote tenting area shown on the preliminary site plan comply with the size requirement, and this must be corrected on the final site plan along with any other campsites that do not meet the appropriate dimensional requirements. 19, that there shall be notice at the entrance to the campground stating that it is located within a flood-prone area and that certain evacuation and or relocation procedures are in place and must be followed by all campground visitors in the event of a weather emergency. And 20, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Have a drink?
Yes.
Now would be the time to make any proposed amendments to the conditions?
That is correct. If there's any amendments that someone would like to propose, this would be the time to
okay.
do so.
I will, I'm going to give the chair to Mr. Wilson at this time so I can make a motion. Then I'll take the chair back after the motion's made.
If he gives it back.
I hope he gives it back. Well, he can keep it, wants it. I move to amend the conditions for conditional use 1963 by adding a new condition, number 20, to state. There shall be a buffer of 200 feet from any structure used for living space on property of lands other than the applicant's. No activities or structures for this use shall be permitted in that 200-foot buffer. Current conditional use number 20 become number 21. If I have a second for that, we'll move forward.
I'll second it.
No. I'll get the chair back. Is that okay with you? We're good. We have a motion and a second. Mrs. Deaver, any questions on that proposed amendment?
And on the proposed amendment, no questions, okay. And I vote for that.
We'll call for the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yeah.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Now, any more, Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I've got a couple here. I think the conditions left out. We, Lawrence, you can remind us, the council, that we, like I think in Gull's Way, we approved that campground a number of years ago and we had a breakdown of percentages of how many park model units could be put in there, cabins, because the variety of product that you see in a campground nowadays is changed a lot. So I'd like to put a condition that would during the site plan approval process at P&Z have planning and zoning determine how many park models, how many cabins, how many and RV sites and maybe even campground sites, and a percentage, not where they're located, but just a percentage, because what you can find happen is a park could change hands, and next thing you know, what the intent of this park owner who just was going to have X number of this and X number of that might change, and we end up with a park that would have all park models, which are miniature mobile homes, and these cabins, which are, again, kind of like a park model. They're pulled in. So I think that's necessary that we have a breakdown, and so a condition, if a worded condition could be that Planning and Zoning Commission would determine the percentages for the cabins, the park models, the RVs, and even that where the primitive, I think they've even proposed primitive sites, campsites. So if we could break that down so that we don't look up years from now and see something, a different, you know, type of project there.
Okay. I'm going to look to Mr. Lank and to Mr. Robertson, who's a planning and zoning attorney. I have not personally seen that on one.
Right, well, Lawrence is familiar. We did it with, I know, Gull's Way and stuff. We've done it in the past.
Mr. Robertson, you want to come forward too?
He may not have been around then either.
I don't know that I was around for the Gull's Way one.
It's nice to have historical perspective sometimes.
Yeah, that was 20 years ago. That's as long as I've been practicing law. I don't know that there's an issue with that if what you're saying is that on the final site plan that there's a breakdown of those percentages.
Well, the concern I have is we see these projects many times down the road change hands. Right. And if we don't determine, in other words, the applicants have come in front of us and said there's a need for campgrounds in Sussex County and in these areas. So if there is a need, the need is that because there's people out there that want to use them. We want to make sure that there's transient sites available. We want to make sure that it doesn't turn into a park model you know, which looks like a miniature mobile home park. Mm-hmm. And then there isn't anything available for the camper who we were supposedly providing a service for. So if we make these percentages, and I don't intend the council to make that decision, but we've done that in the past, and maybe Lawrence could shed some light on that because he knows we've done it before.
It has been done, as I just sort of whispered to Mr. Robertson. It's probably been 20 years since we did Goldway, plus or minus.
Right.
The actual number, the count, the percentage, I can't tell you.
Well, I'm not trying to determine. I'm just saying
prior, so I can research it. But
okay.
It's happening in a lot of parks, though.
Scribbling. Mm-hmm. So I was scribbling while you were all conversing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read you a suggested condition. The Planning and Zoning Commission shall determine the number of park models, RV, travel trailers, and tent camping sites, to be established on the site. And then I would like to know from council what you feel is the number of transient sites that should be provided.
I would let you all determine that at planning and zoning, let them do the investigative work. I know what we did with Gull's Way, and I know outside of Rehoboth, you know, the one out there on the way to the country club, which is no longer there, we required them to have a certain number of transient sites. So just so there's enough available, and I don't know the exact numbers, but I would think that with your staff, you could come up with
I'll try numbers. Again.
Okay.
The Planning and Zoning Commission shall determine the number of park models, RV, travel trailers, and tent camping sites to be established on the site. The number of transient sites shall also be determined by the commission.
Yeah.
As a condition, number 20.
Right. Things can change.
22.
Well, would it be better to put that before the new 21, and because the final site plan then shall be subject to the review as the last one?
That's fine. Okay, so that would be
the new 21, and then we will change the 21 to number 22.
And if I still have the floor, I get two other suggestions.
Okay.
Okay, that's the wording. We got the wording pretty much on that one, you think?
Well, okay. That'll have to be voted on.
Yes. No, okay. Yeah, well, let me make a couple other suggestions, then we can break them down just to maybe some of them might have an impact on the others. There was also stated in the finding of the facts there'd be no sales of camping or RV vehicles or lot sales. I think that ought to be part of the conditions. We have campgrounds that are actually selling, you know, turned it into a lot for sales in the front. So I know Gull's Way, for instance, sells units out front, so it's become too commercial.
Gull's Way has a separate site, and that's commercial zoned on the front.
On the front, okay. Maybe that was part of the old project. But anyway, they had stated in the findings, I think, back there it said something about no lot sales. Meaning that you can't sell these campsites off?
They're for lease only.
For lease only, okay. Right. That should be a condition. It's a finding of fact, but I think it ought to be a condition. And I think there ought to not be any sales of camping units.
Yeah, they could be sold otherwise.
No sales of campsites. Or
well, I'm talking about new units. Yeah. We have sometimes where they try to sell.
They wouldn't be able to do that anyway.
Excuse me?
They wouldn't be able to do that anyway, would they?
Well, they could sell. It's probably clear since they proposed it to put it in the conditions.
Yeah, just so they just put it in there. Right. It's their suggestion. And my third one.
Let me get some just wording. A moment. Right. I think we're getting the wording down.
Okay.
The idea, Mr. Cole, just so we're clear on that, is not to prohibit sales of things you might use while you're camping.
Oh,
it's the RVs, the
camp store. I understand they have a camp store, but now I'm talking about that they have a like a park model,
right.
Line of park models that they're now trying to sell, and they got them sitting out front.
Okay. I mean, for example, they could, they're allowed to have a camp store.
Oh, yeah, camp okay. stores.
So that's the camp fine. Store may sell or lease tents for the purpose of camping on those sites.
I'm more concerned about.
You're concerned about the park model, the RV.
Park models, RVs, all of a sudden we have a lot for new sales or used sales. Okay. It just would be out of character for that area.
So, suggestion. There shall be no sales of campsites or camping units, and an example of park models, RV, or travel trailers.
Or these cabins that they're.
For cabins.
Your cabins. They're talking about a cabin, which I think is kind of a new thing we're seeing in campgrounds.
Well, a lot of campgrounds do now place cabins and they really are just a structure. They don't really have any electric.
Okay. And I got
air conditioning, all that fun stuff.
Ready for my last one?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. As, again, proposed by the applicant, they said there'd be no motorized watercraft, you know, available on site. And because the state has a boat ramp there for motorized boats to be dropped off in and out, I think that we ought to make sure that that's a condition, that there'd be no motorized watercraft, which was in the in their testimony, I think, on at planning and zoning.
Suggestion.
I'm sorry, Lawrence?
Suggestion. There shall be no motorized watercraft for sale or lease from the site.
Right. That's what they proposed. That's from their own words. Mm-hmm. So I'm not creating this.
Just said they're not going to have the retail sales of the motorcraft.
Well, they have. Actually, they're well, here, I have to pull it up now.
There's no use because they could bring their own motorcraft.
They could bring their own
boat
ramp.
A camper comes with a motorized boat. There's a state drop a boat ramp right there. And that's what we want them to use. That's what I'm just saying. That's where the motorized boats should be in there. And they proposed, actually, as part of their in their application, if you go back and look at planning and zonings, it said they would have no motorized watercraft. So I'm just saying, let's put it as a condition in case this project sells to somebody else, it changes hands, and we get what we were told.
They said they would not sell motorized.
No, they said there would be no watercraft. No motorized watercraft on site.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I'll read it in their words. If you'll hang on a minute, give me a second, please.
Scroll.
I'll go back here to the condition.
Do you have
right? Wait, I got to get the right one. Wait, I'm good.
D.
Somebody might want to help look.
It was in the proposed findings. It was referenced in D.
In D?
Yes. Aquatic rental center, no motorized watercraft.
Right. That's just so I want to put it in as a condition. There'd be no motorized watercraft.
Say that again, Lawrence, please.
Wait, and we have amended, there shall be no motorized watercraft for sale or lease from the site, and there shall be no access for motorized watercraft from the site.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. So if they want to have that, they walk it, come in with a motorboat, they go to the boat ramp to get access to the bay.
Which is right there, very, very convenient.
But a kayak or a canoe or something.
Oh, yeah,
right
that's
there.
All that.
Right, okay.
Well, that's what they were promoting.
No motorized.
But they can bring a boat with them.
Yeah, it doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
They just can't launch it.
Launch it, basically.
From
this site.
Right.
We want to keep it on the state. The state's made a big investment there, big parking lot. Let's use it. Those are those three suggestions. So I guess we could vote on each one of those, however you want to proceed, or Mr. Vincent.
Yeah. We can vote on them individually. And Mr. Lank, I know you had the language. Could you read the first one?
Can I correct the last one first?
Sure can.
Okay. Just change the word. The last reference to the watercraft. There shall be no motorized watercraft for sale or lease from the site, and there shall be no
launching
for motorized watercraft from the site.
Before you read anything, I just want to back up on something George is talking about. Go over it, and so in my mind, I get this, the idea that there's a percentage of different types of sites in this big site for tents, I guess, and RV, the park models, and the whatever else there are. Do you have any idea on before we Galls Way, I mean, how you determine that?
No idea. Talking about 20.
We'd have to go,
I mean, I know you got a great memory.
We'd have to go back and pull the record, pull the minutes, and see how it was determined.
I think part of the way that would probably play out, and as a practical matter, is the applicant would come back in with the proposal. This is what we propose for the percentage breakdowns. The Planning and Zoning Commission would determine whether that's reasonable or not, maybe adjust it. It would show up on the final site plan that way going forward.
Right.
I think the concern that was expressed was, you know, as it changed hands, it could change appearance. That way it would always be sort of documented on the final site plan for everybody.
If anybody's gone to, say, Treasure Beach down in Fenwick Island, which is a campground, it's nothing but 90% fixed, you know, units It doesn't look anything like a campground. So what we need to do, if we're going to have a campground, let's have a campground. And like he said, Vince said, that we would have the applicant make a proposal. Planning and zoning would look at it and see if it's reasonable.
Mr. Phillips.
If planning and zoning finds it unreasonable, do they have the ability to appeal to this body?
If it's a condition that came from council, it would have to be a public hearing to change the conditions.
No, I'm not suggesting changing the condition, but rather if they propose the breakdown to P&Z, as Mr. Cole was suggesting, and P&Z says, no, we don't want 80, 15, 5 percentages, can they then come to council and appeal planning and zoning's denial of their breakdown?
On that, I don't know that they would have a direct right of appeal to county council on the breakdown. There's not really a process for that.
I think it would just go back to P&Z and make their argument, right?
That's right. That's right.
Just make their best case.
If P&Z's already denied it.
Right.
Well, it's a condition of the site plan. It could be appealed at the commission level just through the commission. But if it's to be appealed from the commission decision to deny it, the only method is back to public hearing with the council.
Yeah. It won't be denied. The argument's going to be over just the number of percentages. I see a denial on putting the thing in. It's just instead of, say, 23%, we wanted 25% or something like that. That's where the breakdown would be, I guess.
You're giving a tremendous latitude to planning and zoning. Planning and zoning could require an absurd percentage that almost makes the project undoable. P&Z has the authority based on this motion to say you've got to have 95% tents if they got 3 votes. And to give an unelected body that much of authority without an appeal process, I think is just beyond anything we've ever done. Also, I'm looking at the Galls Way campground, and they have no separate rates for tents or for trailers or for park models. If there was a condition 20 years ago, it's certainly not being adhered to today. Plus, I'd have to say, we're not equipped in this county to be running around counting the number of tents in a campground. I think that is something that the marketplace will dictate. That's all.
And to be clear, just to follow up on one thing, I think it's been expressed by Mr. Cole and Mr. Phillips and Mr. Lank, there would be some recourse in, just to make it clear, if the applicant felt like, and I'm not suggesting this would occur, but if the applicant felt like it wasn't being treated reasonably by planning and zoning, they could come back to county council and request that condition be deleted or amended or something like that.
Well, could we, I guess, ever, we could put in there a condition that the applicant has an could come to county council for any modifications of any of the conditions. We just got to be careful. The applicant had a really nice park in the Ocean City, outside Ocean City, but they've sold it. So the new owner, with the latitude that county provides, could make some, wholesale changes. We've seen wholesale changes in manufactured housing parks where the local people owned them, ran them a certain way, and then when they sold them to the, big corporations that have offices in Chicago or wherever, things change. So I'm just saying, let's put in some things that we definitely get a campground. They've proposed it. They gave us a scenario, and we can lock it in. Doesn't mean it's there forever. It means that anybody, a new owner, could come in and make some suggestions, and we could change it. But it gives the county a little control. And as all I can say is, go look at some of the older campgrounds, and they don't look a thing like campgrounds sometimes.
They look like mobile home parks.
So we want to be awfully careful at this point, and I see nothing wrong with it.
Well, there certainly needs to be a way to make sure that there are different areas of the park used for different. I mean, that there is something for transits to come in and use, and the park office stays there for a month or whatever it does. Mm-hmm. But I'm very concerned about, and I think you re-emphasize this, so I'm concerned that the applicant has the ability that if P&Z were to say, you got to do XX whatever, and they say that's too much of one thing or not enough of another, that they have the ability, because it's our condition, to come to council and say we disagree with planning and zoning, we want to do something different, and council could in fact have the final say on that. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
I'm okay with that, as long as we are not giving, as Mr. Phillips referenced, P&Z the authority to say you got to do, and there's no appeal process or no nothing, and it just, you know.
So if I understand, we're saying we don't want these units being used as permanent way. They're not real. We would end up with, we're not having transient people come in. We're having permanent people live there. This is what I hear you saying?
The proposal is that we place some percentages on the different types of
business
units that they're using in this campground.
Well, business,
we're not telling them where to put them. Yeah. We're just saying that they need to set aside a certain amount for transits. We need to maybe have X amount for park models. Otherwise, you could have 300 and whatever it is sites of park models, which would look no different than a similar manufactured housing community down the street.
That's right.
And if we're going to get a campground, I'd like to see something that looks like a campground, provides the services that a campground's supposed to provide, which is for transient RV people, that family up in Pennsylvania that might want to come to the beach for the weekend. We got to have available sites for them, I think. And that's what we did with Galls Way. We did it with others. And some of the other campgrounds have just aren't in use anymore, but I don't think it's unreasonable, and then there is an appeal process. So that's. I'm not trying to tell them where to put them. I just think that we need to make sure that we do get something that has been promoted.
In response to Mrs. Deaver's comments, the said reference to permanent. It's definitely won't be permanent because there are two conditions that state whether they're open April 1st to the first Sunday of November each year, and that. Campsite shall remain vacant. No campers or RVs shall be stored on the campsite during the period that the campsite is closed.
But ownership could be in the person's name. Is that correct? In the camper's name, and they could have little porches built on the side. Could they not? And use it in the summertime.
Only if they're manufactured for camping purposes,
mm-hmm.
specifically designed for that purpose. So it's mm-hmm. very limited on how they can. Stick build anything other than what's approved for camping purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But Lawrence, your what you just read there doesn't reference the park model or the cabin. So the park model and the cabin don't have to be removed.
It would have to be removed.
Yeah.
You're including the park models.
Including the park model. Park model is a camper, basically. It's not a mobile home. It is a designed RV, camper, whatever, travel car, whatever you want to call it.
And you're saying everything would be removed off-site?
The typical citizen with a park model can't haul it. They're typically hauled by a professional that specializes in that.
And they have to have a special permit to go down the highway because they're
larger than the standard travel trailer.
Right.
Mr. Cole, it's in condition 12. It says all units to be used for the purpose of human habitation on campsites shall be tents, travel trailers, recreational vehicles, and equipment manufactured specifically. And then there's the other one that indicates when they shall be removed.
Number nine
states, it shall remain vacant and no campers or RVs shall be stored on the campsites during the period that campground is closed.
But they could be stored there.
It's no campers or RVs shall be stored.
Aren't they going to have some storage? I don't believe they were going to have some. They're offering some, I believe.
I would just suggest this, that what Mr. Lank just told everybody was that the park model needs a special permit. And the cabin, I'm sure, is also a unit that will require a special permit. I can't imagine they will be pulled, that the applicant wants them pulled off and moved to where, I don't know where.
They expect a cabin to be moved.
Because they own, part of their presentation was, they own all the park models, they own all the cabins. So they're not owned by individuals who can take them somewhere.
Okay,
so it may be something that the applicant might find as a unintended consequence of that.
The condition, I use letters, ever use numbers, says the campground/RV park shall remain vacant and no campers or RVs shall be stored on the campsites during the period that the campground is closed. So the suggestion would be, if this is an issue of a concern, is change the word campsites to the campground.
All property.
There wouldn't be no storage. But this says campsite.
Whatever the
campsite is there.
If you can recall.
There is a parking lot that they were going to use where you can come in and register. That's substantial size because of the numbers that you could possibly store on site, mm-hmm. being the whole campground. The intent of that was that it be the campground, not individual campsites, I believe. Mm-hmm. So if you did, you would change that reading to the campground. RV parks shall remain vacant and no campers or RVs shall be stored on the campground during the period that the campground is closed. Change campsites to campground. That should work.
So they
based on your concerns.
They can store it, if they don't own it, but they can store it aside somewhere, like you just talked about. But if they didn't want to store it, then you're saying that they would take the parks unit out?
All the units come out.
Even though they belong to the park?
No.
Oh, you said, I thought you were saying, that they don't own
these. The condition of approval
these.
Makes reference to any, no campground or camping units be placed on any campsite. So the
right,
question
it doesn't
is,
matter if the applicant owned it or if somebody else
who the owner is.
Right. Well, when you're talking about the, they don't own them, that's when I started.
Well, this application, the applicants, they will own them. They rent them. You call up and
Lessies,
you can rent a cabin and a camp in this campground.
And they're
but they're on campsites, and the condition says they can't. Doesn't matter if they own them or not. So they shall be vacant.
Depends on the rest of them.
On the off season, sure. When they're open, they would be available, and when the off season, they would be vacant. The whole parcel would be vacant.
How about for the?
Wait, I'm sure.
For the cabins, that wouldn't apply, or would it apply?
I don't think cabins was even in the discussion. There are some park models that look like cabins, but they're still park models. They just have the appearance of a cabin.
Okay.
No cabins proposed in this application.
Okay.
Cabins being
okay.
stick built.
Okay.
If they were, it'd be a problem because they're going
well,
to be elevated
above. No, my recollection was everything was mobile.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Any more things from Mr. Cole?
No. Okay. Those three items, I think, would be make a.
We need to vote on them individually.
Yes.
As amendments, so I guess we could have Mr. Moore or whoever's going to read these one at a time.
We could have Mr. Lank. He has them written.
Scratched.
Scratched.
Yeah, I can do it. A. I'm going to call it A. And this will be renumbered for Mr. Moore when he concludes. The Planning and Zoning Commission shall determine the number of park models, RV, travel trailers, and tent camping to be established on the site. Now, the number of transient sites shall be determined by the commission.
Okay. One. Make that motion.
And that, okay, motion, Mr. Cole, second.
Second.
Mrs. Deaver, questions on the motion? Question. If we approve that, does that give the applicant the ability to come back to council, who's put that on there, if they can't come to an agreement with P&Z?
Yes, they could come back to council to request that condition be amended or deleted or
okay.
changed.
So they have an opportunity. Okay. Mr. Phillips.
But that opportunity is a huge hurdle. I mean, that's just like amending a conditional use on any condition, they would have to pay a $500 filing fee.
Public hearing process.
They have to go to a public hearing before planning and zoning. The same body who just denied them what they wanted, and it's going to be hard to get any kind of an approval of, you know, the layout that they want if they've already been denied. And then it's going to come here most likely with a denial, and we're going to have to somehow justify trumping planning and zoning's opinion when we put it right in these conditions. It seems like it's very convoluted, or it's a very high hurdle that they're going to have to.
Well, P&Z supported it, the application, so it sounds to me, I can't imagine that they're not going to work with them. They're pretty reasonable then.
There was nothing said about the P&Z being given the authority to dictate
how
many tent sites.
It's more complicated. I don't think we should do it.
We're the elected body.
Job.
We're the body that
Vance,
should. This is where the buck should stop, Mr. Cole.
Could the commission do it?
But that's their job to do the site plan.
That's all I got.
Right, but I mean, it is their job to do site plan, and I think historically they do a pretty good job of doing site plan reviews and final site plan approvals. And doesn't the site plan currently, my memory, it shows different types of sites? Doesn't it show tents?
No.
It shows an area out on what I'll call the island of sorts.
Okay.
That's separate from the rest of the campsites, and there are only a certain number of campsites on that, and it appears to be 10. And every other site, this is just preliminary site plan.
Mm-hmm.
Every other site appears to be with a camper improvement.
Could be a park model, could be a RV,
park
it could
model,
be
RV,
a cabin,
travel trailer.
Or whatever. It could be any of those things. So no, they haven't designated anything on that site plan.
They're showing
that's the concern.
Campsite with a camper. Right. Except for those 10 sites out on that point.
Which are primitive.
Primitive camping sites. 10.
That's actually what people
are primitive.
Okay.
One of those a long time ago in the military. Pretty primitive.
Okay.
All right.
That's what they showed. If that's your concern, then as far as tent camping sites.
No.
Restrict it.
I don't mind the primitive campsites. I think that would be very charming place to camp. It's the concern is there's no breakdown in this site plan on what we're going to get.
Where's the island you're talking about?
And it's a big variety. So I just would like the council to support putting in a percentage and let planning and zoning do it. Now we could do it here, but we'd have to defer because it would take us a lot of time to as much time as it takes to just to get an amendment.
Okay.
Are you talking about over the desk or the Planning and Zoning Commission?
No, the Planning and Zoning Commission can decide.
Yes, why not?
Right, that's their job.
Yep. Right.
That's what they do.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second.
Yes.
We've had questions.
Mm-hmm.
Any more questions?
No questions.
We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yeah, should it pass, I certainly would vote for this amendment. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
As Councilman Cole has said many times, we do not have the ability to go out and police various aspects of applications, counting the number of cars in a used car lot that are along a roadside or other specific conditions that some folks have wanted to put into these applications. And I think this is one of those cases where are we going to set up a department that goes out and counts the number of tents on all the campsites in Sussex County and counts the number of RV motorhomes versus the park models. It just seems like we're not equipped at all to police this kind of a condition. And I really think that the marketplace should dictate what type of campsites this park has. It's a lot different than a development with homes and placement of condominiums versus stormwater management ponds. That's traditionally what a site plan review is. This is something that goes to a whole different level. And as I say, I looked at the Galsway campground, and there's no mention whatsoever of different types of camping that are required there. It just basically says you can bring anything in and park it, $2,700 for the season, and you're good. So I'm going to say no, and I think that if this is approved, it's going to open up a can of worms. Thank you.
Mr. Wilson.
Would you mind reading the motion again?
Certainly.
Ready?
It's a good point.
The Planning and Zoning Commission shall determine the number of park models, RV, travel trailers, and tent camping to be established on the site. The number of camp transient sites shall be also be determined by the commission.
So we're back to counting, is that the way I understand it?
It's back to counting once that number is established.
Yeah.
Correct.
So we've got to count what's there and what's not there.
Correct. If that's a condition of approval.
Well, that's where I had the problem and have always trying to figure out who's there and who's not there. And So I would probably vote with Mr. Phillips no.
I understand Mr. Cole's concern. And I guess what concern I have is that to make sure there are shown somewhere on there some transient sites. The whole thing behind this is a destination point, campground point, whatever. I'm going to take a stretch here. I'm going to vote yes. I got reservations, but I want to see what P&Z says and comes back. I think they're going to be reasonable, but there needs to be some transient sites on this property for people to who are pulling their own unit or driving their own unit to set it up, and not just a site that's all owned by and run by the applicant and nobody else can whatever. That's the, so we'll go from there.
Thank you.
We'll see. Hopefully I'm not proved wrong. Next, Mr. Lang.
The second item to be added was there shall be no sales of campsites or camping units, and in reference, or i.e. park modeled RV or travel trailers, or cabins. There are no cabin attended, but we put it in just to be safe.
Okay.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second.
Yeah, I'll second it, but I want it read again, please.
Mrs. Deaver. Okay. Any questions? Okay. Read it again. And we have questions.
There shall be no sales of campsites or camping units, and i.e. park models, RV, travel trailers, or cabins.
And the reason it, can I elaborate?
I said, I'm sure, Mr. Cole.
You could see where a campground would maybe turn into like a condominium type of sales. They would sell off a campsite, and it would they could do a sale. They do it in marinas. They sell marina slips in some of these marinas nowadays.
That's
so
right.
There's a lot has changed out there. So if we're going to get a campground and we want to get, again, what we're looking for, we want to make sure that they don't have the ability to sell off these sites. And then it's all of a sudden the whole thing that they've described in, to us today or in this application would change. So all it does is prevent the property owner to start piecing it off.
More questions on the motion.
Which is what he said. It was also came out of their testimony.
Right. They said they proffered
yes.
that.
They yes. seemed to know what they
proffered
were.
That. Okay. So that's not,
they wanted to make sure we knew that.
Yeah.
It would be all under their.
Right. And more questions on the motion. We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes. If it passes, yes. I'll say yes.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I'll vote yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, Mr. Lank.
Third item was to add. There shall be a condition, there shall be no motorized watercraft for sale or lease from the site, and there shall be no launching for motorized watercraft from the site.
I'll make that motion.
It's motion, Mr. Cole.
All right. Check.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Yeah. Questions on that motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
No.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Needs to be one more motion.
There was a question raised about item number 9, or condition number 9, and it states the campground RV park shall remain vacant, and no campers or RVs shall be stored on the campsites during the period that the campground is closed. And the ref suggestion was that we delete the word campsite and replace it with campground. So therefore, the wording would be the campground RV park shall remain vacant, and no campers or RVs shall be stored on the campground during the period that the campground is closed. That way you don't have cars or campers stored in the parking lot off season.
Mr. Phillips.
I thought there was a reference during the presentation on how long they would be open.
There was.
It's in the presentation.
Not necessarily.
It was April 1st each year through the first Sunday of November each year.
I hear those specific dates, but in testimony, was there a reference to the number of months that they were going to be open? I'm a little concerned with those dates being in conflict with what was promised as far as the number of months.
That might take a while. Called a scanning, I believe.
It's called scanning. I'll try to scan it.
Yeah, I don't understand. The dates are on there. I mean, aren't they pretty specific? I mean, what do you
see what they said? They said something different. That's a reasonable question.
Yeah, no, I don't think they did. I think that's from their testimony.
Proposed condition, maybe.
They presented.
that in a different scenario. We need to deal with that.
So there's no mention of 6 months. During the testimony, there were specific dates.
And they said, what dates they proffered?
They proffered.
And we gave them to November 20th, or the first Sunday of November.
Yeah, which could be no more than the 7th, I guess. Okay.
I think the reason for that during the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, if I recall, was so that they would be able to pick up the Halloween weekend.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sort of the final weekend of the season.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I'm fine.
Ms. Phillips, trying to push up here.
No, I'm fine.
Oh, you're good? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Would you read that again, please?
Okay. Suggested revision. Number 9. Campground RV park shall remain vacant, and no campers or RVs shall be stored on the campground during the period that the campground is closed.
Okay. And that's a motion, Mr. Cole?
Second. Yes, indeed.
Yes, I second.
And that, when the definition of campground is the entire site? Is that your definition?
Usually the word campground is the entire site. It's not campsite specific.
Okay.
Right. It's a conditional use for a campground, so that would be the entire site.
Okay.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Well, I'm having a hard time understanding any reason why that would not be reasonable, so I'm going to vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay.
There needs to be one more because we've now had 4 amendments, and they were A, B, C, and D, and we should have a motion renumbering those 21, 22, 23, 24, and the previous number 21 now becomes 25.
Okay. I'll make that motion. Motion, Mr. Cole. Second.
I'll second it.
Mrs. Deaver. To do the renumbering as Mr. Moore read into the record.
Yes.
Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Any more motion from council? Okay, then we need to...
I'll reread the short title as amended.
Okay.
Make sure I've picked up the right one. Okay, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a campground to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 50.83 acres, more or less, tax map ID 2-34-25-31, 31.02, and 31.04, as amended with the additional conditions.
Number 1 through 25, I think.
That is correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Make that motion that we adopt CZ 1963.
That is correct. Motion, Mr. Cole.
With the
CU
1963 with the 25 conditions as just read.
Have a motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yeah, my vote's no still, and it's... Again, we had so many folks come here testify against it with 967 signatures, opposing the whole project, 58 letters, emails expressing opposition to the project. This is a more intense use. We're downzoning from one zone to AR1, but it's not really. What we're doing is preparing it for a more intense use, which is a campground. So it's not really any down zoning at all. And the The RV park is not in character. There are a number of neighborhoods in that area, and it's not all transient. And we heard from those folks at the hearings. And so as far as, you know, seeing any valid reason for taxing that road anymore, I don't see that there is at this time. The general welfare of this public on the Long Neck area is one of the fastest growing areas of the county, and a growth rate of 55%. And the average age there is 62 years. And this is going to add to how much time it takes to get the paramedics out there, the fire department. You know, and this is all your first responders. It's going to take longer. And these things are going to be on the road. And, you know, it's a whole lot more traffic. I mean, don't think that it's not. And it's a significant increase in the traffic is what bothers me. It's out of place with their neighborhoods that are there. And we do have a great number of campgrounds in the county at this time. So it's no.
Cool.
We had a similar one at a campground application on Cedar Neck Road, and I live out there, and I live on a road that has a variety of different types of housing. It's had campgrounds since for probably 50, 60 years on Cedar Neck Road. It has high-end condominiums. It has single-family homes. It has a little bit of everything. Long Neck Road is similar, so my concern is on this one that it does, the wastewater capacity is available. The DelDOT has said that they didn't need to do anything. They had not objected to it. And so I think, therefore, this campground is consistent with the other existing uses on Long Neck Road. And it is the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, I think, will support that. So I'll vote yes.
Phillips.
Everybody would like to be the last settler. The Fawcett family has preserved this portion of the peninsula for a very long time, and to punish them because they did not rush to develop their property would be unfair. I believe with the conditions, this has made it a good application, has made a good application even better. I think that when you have a visitor destination, there should be options for those visitors, and RV campgrounds apparently are needed, or they wouldn't be building it. And with the findings and the conditions that planning and zoning we have offered, I believe it's an appropriate use, and I vote yes.
Wilson.
I vote yes with P&Z, and it's been my argument for a long time that the last one in should not be penalized.
I think that with the conditions we've placed on it, additionally past P&Z, we have made it a better application. You know, I hear people talk about the traffic, and I'm not making light of that, but obviously DelDOT are the people that are the traffic gurus. DelDOT are the people that control the roads. They are the people that pay for the roads. They're the ones that tell us if a road should or should not be overloaded, and they're saying it's not. There was no comment from the fire department saying it was presenting too much of a problem for them, and they get the same information Wiles gets. So I'm going to vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Yes, sir.